Not Paved, Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Unpaved. I just had like a jump scare. I forgot my kids were home on their Thanksgiving break, and my son just walked in the room and just scared the crap out of me. So I'm just to an empty house.
Being a kid is such a country club nowadays. We got fall break. We got Christmas break. We got a spring break before, like a spring, kind of spring, pre-spring break. We got you're out of school in the middle of May. I know, and they'll say, well, we go back in August, but what a country club. If it's like, and then teachers, you know, with the day out where teachers are having their meeting, the kids. I mean, man, what a country club. So you forgot the kids were home. Welcome to, oh, my gosh, the routine gets disrupted today, man.
Right, they just walk in the room and scare the crap out of me. But anyways, well, welcome to Monday. He's Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. You can follow him at Sean Unfiltered, me at Adam G. Sager, the show at Unpaved on Rumble. Those are on X. Go to YouTube, like and subscribe to the channel. At Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Sean, before we get to JB, fun weekend of football, a lot going on. Your Trojans come up short. Michigan wins, so I guess one of us has a team still fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, shocking who it is, but we all know who that is. And some fun football yesterday. Jameis Winston. You never know what that guy's going to say or do.
I'm going to love him. But I love the guy.
Your pregame speech is basically, we're outside, but we're inside, and you just say that a bunch of times, and then you go out and do what you did, catching a touchdown pass, throwing for two touchdowns. I mean, what a day for him. And they almost beat the Lions, and in reality, they should have, but it was a fun weekend of football that we had.
I love it. You know, there's the disappointments. Like I said, in our betting line, I'm thinking college football, we're killing it. And then all of a sudden, SC gets beaten. And you start off the day with good football, whether it's the over or the under the pick. And then all of a sudden, it's like that got set on its ear. And then you start to look at some of the comebacks that happened. Well, we'll talk about one, the Monday night or Sunday night comeback with the way the Cowboys, they were left for dead. I mean, they were awful in the first half. And here they are. Even with balls laid on the ground, drops and all that, they found a way to get it done. And Eagles is something that I'm really curious about, Segs. But anyway, back to my Trojans. Once again, they just couldn't get the right stops. A lot of penalties being littered. But I'll tell you another thing. SC throws the ball up to single coverage down the field than any team I've ever seen. I mean, if they get single coverage, they are throwing it.
Yes.
Even if it's ill-advised. And some great undercut plays, really good defensive performance, you know, by Oregon. But Oklahoma continues to show why defense is keeping them in games when they didn't even play their best game near it offensively, but did another good job. Venables is really done some great stuff. And then coaches fired around the league and one in the NFL before we get to JB is how long we get an assistant, assistant coach fired, Chip Kelly. How long does a leash for Pete Carroll? And I'm sure JB has some answers and thoughts about that.
Yes. So a lot to talk about, but let's jump to JB.
Let's do that. Let's get it in. He is at @TheRealCoach_JB for his regular Monday visit. We love him. One of my favorite people and best buddies of all time. And he always brings it when we get him on here. JB, let's start just with last night since it was the most recent. It's kind of a two-way street for me on this question. I don't like to ask two questions at once. So we'll start with, is Philadelphia a serious threat? Do we overrate them or underrate them? And then secondly, how far are the Cowboys away? So I'm putting them both into one category so you can talk on both. How far are the Cowboys away from actually being good? I said yesterday, five players away from being five players of the way, and that was like during this game. They come back and win. Your thoughts on both of these organizations, one in the direction this year, the other one in where they're going in the future, and that would be the Cowboys.
Yeah, Sean, good to see you. Here's the thing. I don't know how serious you can take the Eagles because of the – I guess because of the lack of production of Saquon Barkley. That was the reason they won last year in spite of Jalen Hurts' inefficiencies. I think Saquon was the main reason. We all know he probably was the MVP of the league. And now he's kind of got a guy that the backup running back seems to bring more energy and juice than he is. I don't know why that is. I have no clue. I know Lane Johnson's out for the season, probably the best right tackle to ever play football. I get it. But this team still has a great defense. They still have unbelievable weapons, and I don't know why they can't get that thing going there. This game seemed to be 21-0, and it still seemed to be like, oh, man, the Cowboys screwed this up, or they would actually be in this football game, and you kind of never sensed them out of it. If you watched it like a football head, you and I would watch it. We were like, ah, this game is far from over at 21-0. And sure enough, they lost. I don't know, man. The Eagles, listen, the Rams were mollywopping them, gave that game up. A.J. Brown had a huge second half and beat the Rams. I believe the Rams are the best team, probably shored up home field last night with this loss by the Eagles, even though they have the head-to-head loss. I think the Rams run the table. I think the Rams solidified home field. And that, to your other question, it opened up the Cowboys to be in the playoff hunt still. But quick turnaround, Sean. They got a Thursday game here in 3 days on Thanksgiving, and they got to do that and win again. Because if they don't,
Is that the Chiefs game, right? So it won't be. Do they play the Chiefs? Am I wrong? Yep. I thought it was the Chiefs.
Yep.
Yeah. And we don't know what Chiefs team's going to show up, but you should expect their best, right, JB?
Yeah, you got an interesting slate on Thanksgiving. Let me ask you this to those questions. Is more football less? Like, we're getting overwhelmed here. It's not good. Like, to me, it's not
good. I've lost my interest in the late night game. I'll watch it because we have to, JB. But I wouldn't, as a fan, I'm watching it more for work than a fandom. Does that make sense? And it's always been like that. I like the early days. I kind of like, you know, getting a college game on there at times, and then the NFL early, and then mixed in and doing it all, and you're throwing stuff around. I liked the two games in Detroit and in Dallas, how you set it up. I know they think more is more because it's money, but by that time, it's kind of like the end of the weekend, the Monday night game, unless it's a great matchup, you're like, I'm burned out by football, right? So, you know what, while I love it, any football is great football, but I'm with you, I'm not still sold on, by the time it gets there, after all the drinking and food and all that, the Thursday night game, if it's not great right out of the chute, like a good book would be or a bad book would be, you're shutting the book right now, and it can be a hard watch. So I don't think more equals more all the time. Less,
I mean, you got tonight's game. I mean, it's just continuation from yesterday and the weekend, obviously. But let's just start tonight. You got a Monday night game. Tomorrow you got Maction games.
Yep.
The Mac football. And then Thursday, you know, Thanksgiving. Now there's three games on Thanksgiving. Yep. Then you got Friday, the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State on Friday. Then you got Saturday football games. You still got NFL games Friday as well. And you come to that with, we are in the finals in California, the numbers wise, the largest state with the most high school football being played in the CIF championship weekend.
Right.
And you're taking away from those boys in high school because you got college games now being played in California, such as SC and all these other schools that play on Fridays now in the mix of Friday Night Lights. And then you still got a Sunday slate with the NFL again, and right, there's still weeks to play. So, like, to me, it's becoming too much.
I agree. And, JB, that Sunday night game this year, it'll be a curb stop because Baltimore's just starting to play the way – and they're a dangerous team.
Well, they play Thursday.
I meant the last game on Thursday night, what we were just talking about. That Baltimore Bengals game, if Baltimore is doing what they do, they'll hang 40 on them the way that
I think it was a decision to not play Burrow yesterday because they're going to play him Thursday.
Well, right, and they are going to play. I know he's been going full slate on the field. Have they decided Thursday's going to be it just because I would assume that's the case, right, JB, that we'll see him in a lineup. Thanksgiving night. Now the intrigue gets a little better because they can score, but the question is, can they even stop Baltimore's offense with their defense, regardless of what
Baltimore's struggling. The movie? Baltimore's struggling on offense, though. If you watch Baltimore, they've won those five games, but their offense is bad looking. And I'll be honest.
They put them up, they get short fields, and they're just kind of going through. It's kind of going through the motions right now, even though they're winning. It's not as pretty as the normal high-powered Baltimore offenses that we see when Lamar's going full go.
And the Burrow thing's fascinating. I think he plays because they still have the Ravens twice. Cincinnati does. They're mathematically not out of the playoff hunt at 3-8 right now because that division's so bad. And the Steelers are doing
this. There's no way this year, JB, is there? We see this all the time. They start slow. There is no friggin' way this year, is there?
I get it, but remember, I'm curious to see this one, man, because I don't know why you would even play Burrow. If you're not, if you're going to play him, you're hoping, okay, we're going to play and beat the Ravens twice this year, and that gives us five wins, and then we got to win those other games, too, to be playoff eligible.
Now you're asking him to win out is what you're asking.
Yeah,
yeah. Burrow gives you a pretty good chance. It's going to be interesting. Jamie, let me quickly get back before we move on. Is Saquon Barkley, is the workload from last year taking effect? Are the Philadelphia Eagles so cognizant of it, they're not working him as much? Is he worn out for the great season? Yeah, we've seen the movie before. The guy is such a stud, but it's been the production's way down, whether it's the commitment to it or his production. As much as I love the guy, did last season wear him out?
Yeah, and there's a book out, Sean. You know better than most. There's a book out on the combination of Jalen Hurts and Saquon. There's a book out on the combination of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. And look at what's happened with both of those tandems. They haven't lived up to the hype. I mean, look at them. Like, the numbers are down dramatically. And defensive coordinators get paid to do what? They're not going to sit there and not schematically do things different. That's why Lamar struggles in the playoffs. That's why Dak struggles in the playoffs. That's why. So it kind of is a counterproductive situation. In Dak's case, he's more of a pocket guy. So guess what we do? We make him run. In Lamar's case, we spy and zone dog you and zone blitz you in the playoffs. So then you're holding your hand. You're holding your dick in your hand and you're like, what do I do? And guess what?
You want to keep him in there.
Yeah,
right. You want to keep his patience in there.
And they, ironically, have both only won three playoff games, Sean, in 8 years. So, like, at the end of the day, we're judged on winning football games, right, at that position, more than stats. And those guys are coming up short. So, Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, I still, as much as I love the kid, as an it factor, a great leader and a winner and having that factor. But he also, you can win in spite of your quarterback. Trent Dilfer proved that in Baltimore, and we've seen others in Flacco in Baltimore. We've seen other guys not be great, but at the same time,
produce great results, right? Great wins.
Yeah,
right.
At the same time, man, we got to be honest here. Like, I don't know if just say the Hurts team can lead them back to a third Super Bowl and win the second. I don't know if this team has it unless they get on the same page. I think there's a lot of disgruntled situations happening in that locker room. And eventually, that'll bite you in the ass.
@TheRealCoach_JB, our regular Monday guest. Love him. Great to have him on. Love the energy during Thanksgiving week and every week he brings it. JB, are we shocked at how bad Chip Kelly's offense was this year? Obviously, fired, moving on, $6 million coordinator. What have you seen that tells you this had to happen, aside from results?
I've heard from an inside guy that it was a mutual situation. He walked in and Pete and said, listen, out of respect, I'll be the scapegoat, sacrificial lamb. Let me go try to get a college head job. Why they're open, Sean, Boston College, he's from the East Coast. I believe Boston College, Bill O'Brien's probably run its course. I think that makes the most
sense. Would you hire him at Cal now that Wilcox is fired, Ron Rivera's there? He's had success in that conference. I mean, when it was a conference, that's where his biggest success came from. Would you hire him there?
But without being a conference and him leaving the UCLA head job to go to Ohio State to be a coordinator, I don't see it making sense. I see him going back home.
Cal or Boston College? You're taking Boston College because of the conference? Is that why?
He's from the East Coast. Let me tell you, though, Sean, watching him, him and I don't get along, obviously, for a long time, so it is what it is. But the bottom line is he was great when he was lateral outside zone, rip and run, He basically pulled the whole O-line. We called it Oz, outside zone. He was great when he was reading the three technique off the back door, and he's reading the shade, and he's getting all this fast movement. And he had a great O-line guy in Greatwood there at Oregon for years. And he replaced Bilotti eventually, and that's a whole other story. But he had all this talent and rip and ran and beat USC when they had Cedric Ellis because he read them. They hadn't seen that before, even though I was doing it in JUCO years prior to that. The whole bottom line is he's still living off of those days, and he still came up short. So at the end of the day, what has his offense done since? He was horrific.
Well, at Ohio State, but he had every great athlete in the world.
You and I would have won the Natty there as a play caller. So we could have, anyone would have went in there and won the Natty with those guys. 21 guys got drafted. Here's the thing, Sean. What has he done to make $6 million a year? I think he walked in there and said, and I've watched the game specifically, and this is what I have a problem with.
JB. They are not sound offensively.
But I just go in with the approach. If I'm going to script the first 15 as he does, you have Brock Bowers, who's probably the best tight end since Gronk this early. You don't get him a target, and then you don't combo him with Jenty in some sort of combination and getting those two guys the ball, and then you traded your Jacoby Myers, who was your only outside weapon, really, to Jacksonville for future picks, which tells me I was listening to you before the show, which tells me they're giving Pete another year at least to do something here, because all they do is trade coaches out every year. I mean, this is a bad organization right now. But offensively, Geno and Chip haven't meshed for whatever reason. Geno's digressed. They have no weapons to Pete's defense. There is no weapons on this offense. Their defense is bad. But I put it more on Chip and the offense as to why the defense is this bad, because that offense is three and out. We're not getting sustained drives. We're the worst team time possession in the NFL. We lack the first downs. We get third down conversions is the worst in the NFL. We're putting our flip in the field in the worst scenarios. We're third and long.
Sack after sack, right? 10 more yesterday.
10 sacks, Sean? 10 sacks? And you don't do anything to Chip?
You might as well play with four guys up front. Right. It's crazy.
Why aren't you floating Bowers or putting Mayer in? If you're not going to run Mayer on receiving routes, put in 12 personnel. Let him float to Chip Miles Garrett. I mean, it's unbelievable what I'm seeing in Vegas. And I don't know, man. I love Pete Carroll to death. He's a mentor of mine.
I don't know how I feel about Pete as a trivia. That's my guy. But how long has it passed maybe?
Him by? I don't know if it hasn't passed him by, man.
You think that maybe he's a step behind now? Is that, can it happen that fast? As much as we both love Pete,
you think Belichick's step behind now?
I do.
It's a young man's game. These guys may be stuck in their ways. I mean, you're stuck in our ways for a lot of reasons. I mean, maybe that's why we don't coach anymore, too. I don't know.
But I'm willing to adjust. But I'm willing to hire somebody smarter than me, and I know you are too, JB. Right?
I'm ready to go get the it doesn't make sense. I've never seen anything like
this. I have good coaches. I get paid. That's the way this league works, man. You hire good coaches to elevate you, even if you. If you don't want to change, hire people who will. You got to adjust and adapt, and those who don't get left behind. He may be on the cusp of that if it's not careful.
There's something very odd going on, because I've never known Pete Carroll to inherit a program or an organization and keep the DC. That's the number one outlier here. Vegas had a DC in place. He kept them. Now, listen, Pete may have a relationship. They may know each other, of course, blah, blah, blah. But Pete as a defensive guy, like Nick Saban as a defensive guy.
Both defensive back guys too, JB. Both
their
of them.
Footprint, yeah. Their footprint is on the defense. This is not Pete Carroll defense. And this is the guy, he's letting this guy have autonomy some way and run the defense. And I don't understand it. I thought he would have cleaned house. He kept him, which tells me he must be letting him go as well after the season and doing it his way and getting his personnel in there. But I don't understand year one why you wouldn't have cleaned house. And that's something that just odd to me with Pete Carroll as a defensive guy.
You bring in all your own people all the time and then live there. If they're not any good, you get rid of them and you do it again year two. That's exactly it's all you
can. Maybe he's
you hire him, it's on you. That's right.
Maybe he did it this way for a reason. He needed a scapegoat to do this for year two and three.
Have full autonomy, right? Good point, JB. Great stuff. At the real coach underscore JB every Monday with us here. A couple more minutes with my man. Who's the most dangerous team in the AFC?
Man, the AFC.
Is there a great team in the AFC? Do you trust any of them right now, JB?
No, man, I don't. I think the AFC is very bad. I don't understand. Sean King and everybody's going at me thinking that AFC is good for some reason. I don't see it. Okay, so Denver and New England, obviously, with the records they have, the Colts choked the game off last night against a Chiefs team that you basically gave life to, because without that, percentage-wise, Chiefs lose that game yesterday. They're basically out of the playoffs. You allowed them to stay in it. Now they play on a quick turnaround against Dallas this weekend, or this Thursday, Thanksgiving. Here's the issue. Are you sold on New England and Denver with second-year quarterbacks to win it all? That's the question you have to ask, because I do believe you and I know defense travels. So Denver and New England have that. And they also have a Super Bowl winning player for Belichick and Vrabel, and a Super Bowl winning coach in Sean Payton in Denver. Both of those teams are both on a roll and they're on a heater. By the way, the Raiders beat New England.
Right.
But that wasn't this in New England, by the way. So
right.
I don't know if I'm sold on any AFC team. I'm not sold on Buffalo at all. Joe Brady has astonished me with play calling, and they have astonished me at the trade deadline, not going to get Josh Allen some weapons on offense. That still astonishes me.
They can't win the whole thing if Allen doesn't play great. They can't. Nah.
And he's not. It's not sustainable to have no weapons and just rely on Superman to do all these crazy things. So other than that, you know, Jacksonville shows spots. The Texans are rolling. So they got a defense that can travel and win a Super Bowl. Do you change from Davis Mills to CJ? I don't know if you do right now. Unfortunately, I think Davis Mills on a heater. The team is bought in. I think that is getting Nico he's getting him more targets than normal. He doesn't need Tank Dell like CJ does. See, that's the difference. He doesn't need him. And I love CJ. I've been around him since he was a little kid. I'm a Davis Mills guy too, though. I said that he was on a bad, bad team in 21 when he got there. And I say, just like Daniel Jones, just like Sam Darnold, he's better than you guys think. Put him around some competence. Put him around a defense. Get him some weapons. Look what he's done. Look what Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones has done. I think this is Davis Mills' time. I would let him go until he looks bad, and then I roll CJ out in the middle of a game rather than start CJ, and then I'm back to putting Davis Mills back in if something goes wrong. CJ, we're talking Tua situation if you're not careful here. So I would roll out Davis Mills, and I think the Texans are a scary team right now, maybe over anyone else. So I don't know. Those three teams come to mind, but are the Chiefs really serious? Are the Colts? I don't know, Sean. I don't know. I'm interested to see what you think. You hear me?
I'm muted. Yeah, I'm muted. Yeah, we must have lost Sean. He must have dropped. They've been having some internet problems.
Oh, gotcha. Texas, man. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. But you were talking about the Texans, and so you think they should stay with Davis Mills and not play C.J. Stroud right now while he's on that heater?
Yeah, because we know C.J.'s the future. I just don't know if you put CJ in now and he struggles, and then you got to go back to Davis Mills, now you're kind of working backwards, in my opinion. I think you just roll CJ out if Davis struggles. That way it's a natural transition. I don't know if you can do backwards because he's on a heater, and I don't know if you want to mess that momentum up. Personally, I wouldn't, but same with Burrow. I don't know why you need to play Burrow on a 3-8 team right now. Since Flacco got to the Bengals, not anymore, but first four or five games, he was leading the league in touchdowns and yardage with Chase and Higgins. And they damn near beat New England yesterday without Jamar Chase. And I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I need to put Burrow out there. You need to address O-line and other things.
And once we've started this show, it's Zach Taylor talked, and he said, we anticipate Joe Burrow playing, but also said that T. Higgins will not play and Trey Hendrickson will not play. So, again, you're talking about that small little window of the playoffs. You know, now you lose two of your best players, but you get Joe Burrow back. And then we don't know about Jamar Chase still. Now you're putting Joe Burrow just in a bad spot.
Now you're swapping one for the other. You just didn't have – you had Higgins and no Chase. Now you're going to have Chase, no Higgins. So they're not as good without one or the other. They need both. So like, demand the double and not demand a double. Like, you got to have both guys out there, and then your tight end and Gesicki and those other guys or whatever, whoever they are, they're basically non-existent. I thought they screwed up when they got rid of Mixon. That was the safety blanket in an offensive pass catching type of running back that he is. I think Burrow lost a lot when they lost him, and they haven't addressed the O-line yet. And I think they've overpaid at wideout and quarterback now. Not in quarterback, but Burrow's 3 years now has missed games. So at some point you got to start like questioning, what are we going to do up front in Cincinnati? Yeah. So I don't know, man. Texans have the same situation to me. They got to address something in the offseason up front too. So I don't know. I roll Davis Mills until the wheels fall off right now, and then see how it goes. But the Texans are on a heater because their defense travels.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, what is your take on the Lions? We saw them struggle early against the Giants yesterday, and they come on and come back and win that game in overtime. We see Jahmyr Gibbs have the big game, but something about this Lions team just doesn't seem to quite mesh all the time.
Yeah. Here's the issue I have, Sean. MCDC, we love him, but here's the problem. He took over the offense, and I said their biggest loss was Ben Johnson, obviously the Chicago Bears' greatest gain. I don't know if they can sustain this, because when you're a head coach, Sean, your CEO duties become a little bit watered down and spread too thin. Now I'm worried about scout report for the defense instead of worried about special teams and fundamentals and defense and all those things. Bite kneecaps off. I get they play hard for him. They love him. But at some point, the Ben Johnson loss is going to be too insurmountable, in my opinion, and it's showing the last 3 weeks is hit as he's taken over play calling duties. And now in the offseason, he's going to have to hire a young, sexy, hot OC some way to replace Ben Johnson. He cannot continue this in this facet. Remember, he was a 28-year-old special teams tight end guy in Miami getting the interim head job. He really hasn't called offense since 21, and that really wasn't his forte. And now he's calling offense, demoting a guy that's, I don't know how that's all working out, but it looks like Chicago, man, just keeps winning. And I don't know if this is sustainable for him. He's going to have to get an OC in there because their offense looks bad. I'm just watching the games. They're relying too much on Gibbs. They're not playing Montgomery enough in the red zone. St. Brown dropped easy balls. He had 150 yards, and he dropped a lot of balls that continued drives yesterday. And Jameis Williams, who's a freak, who 1 week they get him the ball, and then yesterday they don't. So, like, I don't understand the ebb and flow of this. It seems like it's a offensive guy kind of just throwing shit at the wall, seeing if it sticks, because he's the head coach, son, and he's got a lot on his plate. So, listen, I've taken over coordinating roles as the head coach. I get why he's doing it. But obviously, or also, you got to understand there's some things you got to do maybe to shore this up and get somebody else to help you lighten the load.
Absolutely. Thanks. Tornado warnings in my area. So something hit here, and thunder shaking it so hard it feels like it's an earthquake, which JD's used to out there in California.
I thought you guys had a mosque or something going on, but go ahead.
Well, guess what? Yeah, 12th gate. I do. A tactical Mossberg 500. My wait for anybody who wants to roll up. That's what I got sitting at the crib. But other than that,
right.
All right, a couple more questions with you. And JB, a comment I want to make about the AFC team I'd asked you. I didn't get to hear your last part of it, but I do want to move on. I don't think New England's regular season fool's gold. I think they're real. Defense, as you mentioned, for Denver travels. I think Mike Vrabel, who you mentioned as well, and Drake May travel as well. I think Drake May's real. I do. So both of them, but I don't know in January what their chops are going to be like for Bo Nix and for Drake May. Both Vrabel will have his defense ready, but Denver's defense is Super Bowl worthy as well. And you mentioned Mills, which we'll talk about as the week rolls on as well. A couple of the college things real quick, JB. Well, it's kind of an NFL thing. I'll get to I'll finish with Lane Kiffin in a second. But one more thing in the NFL. If somebody came to you and said, evaluate Shedeur Sanders yesterday, what's your evaluation look like?
He's horrible. He's still horrible. the bottom line is,
would you like to get credit for a bubble screen, a swing pass to your back that runs 50 yards to the hizzy? And people are raving over the one. It was the one read. I mean, he's mid. It was a mid game. Did some good things. Did some bad things. Did some subpar things, but He got a win, which I give him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again next time against San Francisco. But I've never seen anything like it. He hands off, and it's a Hall of Fame handoff. I mean, that's where we're at.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it either. It's unbelievable. He's 15 of 36, two interceptions in six quarters of football. I know what my eyes work, too. He's not good. I mean, it just is what it is. But guess what? I've never seen a guy glazed over and salivated over more than this middle of the pack type of guy. He threw a great deep ball.
Sure did. That was a spectacular. He was actually better off schedule than on schedule yesterday.
Yeah. Well, if that's how he is, that's what he always going to be. So listen, great ball there, but that's it. That's literally it. I mean, that's really – show me another play he created and did well on. I haven't seen it. But listen, 44% completion percentage in six quarters in the NFL now when you throw half of your balls behind or at the line of scrimmage is not very good.
Well, there's why Anthony Richardson's not playing anymore, meaning not a starter anymore in Indianapolis because of the accuracy.
Hey, thanks, Myles Garrett, for 10 fucking sacks, too, to help me get the ball back in great position.
Yeah.
But guess what? Me. He didn't mention anybody, any of his teammates other than himself. So, hey, guess what, dog? It's fucking time.
Yeah, let's go. There you go, bud. There you go. All right, let's finish with this, JB. I love it. Hey, what do you evaluate his performance? Oh, he sucks or he's bad. Dude, you didn't take long to jump a full scale into that. All right.
Yeah, watch it closely. Just to answer it. I watched it yesterday. I had to.
So did I. Every single snap just for this very reason. Plus, I wanted to hear how you came out with it in the first place. All right, you're Lane Kiffin. I'm putting you in the exact same situation. Money's all equal. Let's just say Ole Miss was going to match it and he'd go. You tell me, what's more important to you, building something that's already been built or building something that hasn't been? What would you do if you were him? Well, you're getting $100 million from any of them. What would you do?
Well, he likes pussy, Sean. So he's going to go to the next new thing.
Well.
And we know that's undefeated.
Well.
That's undefeated.
Well.
I'm just telling you. I know him well. And I got pictures of him that he sent me. And, you know, we talk. And here's the thing. He likes boats in the ocean. Let's just keep it real. And he likes other wet things on boats. And the bottom line is, that's not in Mississippi, Sean. You don't find that. You know, I don't know what happened to you, but it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. Okay. Listen, I love Mississippi, but it's a shithole. He knows it. He ain't going
to
get nobody.
How many boats he'd have to go down? Where's he going to? Is he going to get one of those?
Yeah, go all the way to the Gulf.
But what about LSU, though? He going to use what's he going to do down there?
Well, you gotta get on the chopper, you know, the one that cuts through the weeds and shit.
Yeah.
Listen, he's not doing all that.
Yeah, the one from like a Burt Reynolds old school movie, right? Yeah, you gotta get through there, right?
Yeah. I don't see
LSU is a great place, one of the great places ever. But I know he can get to the Gulf, but I mean there's not you get to Lake Pontchartrain and all that, but they're not in Atlantic Ocean literally in his backyard, although he can do it. So he's gonna have to drive either place. He's going to have to, to go to the Gulf Shores to get down to Alabama from Mississippi or wherever he's going there.
LSU. So beautiful.
So you still think he's headed to Florida. And is that what you'd do? Because I know you like it too. So don't try to lie.
I do. Just because of his lifestyle and everything else. I do. He's got the ex-wife's dad. Used to be the coach there. He's got history there. He met his wife in Gainesville. Listen, I think there's too many things that lead back to it. Now, listen, if he stays at Ole Miss, kudos to him. Because I think he's committing some sort of coaching suicide at this point. Because at the end of the day, we've seen it leave the Raiders. Al Davis bashed him openly. He went to Tennessee, left Tennessee, goes to USC, he's fired on the tarmac. I don't know when at some point, when is he going to say, all right, man, I got you guys as the highest rated Ole Miss team we've ever seen. We're going to be in a playoff. And now I'm going to leave? But I will say this that's different than most. To try to guilt trip him, I would give a huge middle finger to everybody out there because this is not Lane Kiffin's issue. I said it on my show last week. No one else said it, and then people have said it now since because they don't tag me, of course. But anyway, the football schedule and the academic schedule and the NCAA and how they've created this madness is the problem, not coaches. So let me get this straight. A kid goes out and says, decommit, I decommit, thank God, and writes this God and Jesus tweet and says, oh, man, God
thank
told
to the
me.
Good Lord. Thank the good Lord to the message it told me to transfer for the fourth time. That guy? And he was also the guy that told you he had 55 Division I offers on Twitter. But he doesn't humble. He's humbled by his 55th Division I offer.
And the God told him. God told him to.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody out there, Sean, that's not the kid's problem. That's a systematic issue. It's the system's fault. We allowed the portal to be open. So it's not the system's fault when Lane Kiffin wants to leave.
The portal, right? Yeah.
So Lane Kiffin wants to leave. It's not the system's problem. He's just a shitbird asshole, huh? Like, come on, man. This is ridiculous. The people that have tweaked this shit, too, is unbelievable. So you've pushed the playoffs to damn near the Super Bowl. When knowing spring ball starts at a lot of programs in March, you've pushed this open. The portal signing period used to be in February when we had the main signing period. Now you open a portal. You made a signing. You wanted a second signing period.
Early signing
you bumped it to December. So now administrators want you there by Thanksgiving to recruit to sign the December kids, but you're still playing playoff games into February. Make it make sense, man. But you're going to blame the coach now. Guess what? Coaches went out too now because it's the Wild Wild West. And if your players are allowed to leave four damn times in 4 years, then guess what? Now you got to deal with this whole thing that you've opened up. And you're not getting that pace back in that tube. You've already screwed yourselves. So I'm not mad at any of them. Screw them all. I would tell you to don't guilt trip me. I got an opportunity to go make money and go somewhere else. Guess what? Just like the kids do. I'm leaving.
And I know Lane, just like you do, I've known for a long time, he's not going to let him guilt trip him. Whatever decision he's going to make what's best for people in mind. And I friggin' love him. I don't care where he goes. I'm rooting for him. I'd love to see him stay and keep doing what he's doing at Ole Miss. But I get the LSU temptation and Florida where, well, family, crib, that is what, all those things. I get it. That's part of being a five-star recruit coach. Like a player, you got people that want you. Even though Anthony Ringo is the head coach, he's damn good and knows how to recruit, and he's a brilliant play caller. What's that?
Yeah. I think social media is anointing these guys, though, a little bit.
Oh, no doubt. Players and coaches, both.
Yeah, I think they put him on a pedestal, though. Like, there's only two guys coaching that's won a natty. This guy's never won a natty. He really hasn't been close, and he's being offered $100 million. I like Lane. I'm cool with Lane and all that, but at the same time, like, so Saban leaves, and I guess it puts the next guy on the pedestal. I don't know, because he hasn't even come close to winning nothing, but yet he's coached at every major place you can think of and gets paid unbelievable amounts of money to do so. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, well, so, God bless him. You know what? I ain't getting anybody's wallet. If you get it, I love you. We all need to be on that path, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me finish with this, JB. I know you're a big Vittles guy. Love to throw down regularly on football Saturdays and Sundays. So what's on the Thursday menu for you, truthfully? What's on the menu real quick, and then tell me what you absolutely think is the most overrated dish on Thanksgiving. Dish. Yeah, turkey, I get it, or prime rib, whatever else you're throwing down on there. I don't know if it's a prime rib or a ham or what have you. But what's the most overrated side dish?
Mac and cheese if it's not done right.
Well, see, and mac and cheese at the top of my list for the right one when it's done right.
That's if it's done wrong, though.
I got to have it as a side.
Yeah, if it's dry in the middle and there's not enough cheese in the middle or oil or butter, it's not right. You ruined my whole day. But I'm going to smoke a spatchcock turkey. I'm going to cut the spine out, split that bitch open, she said. And then I'm going to throw that in the smoker. I'm going to smoke that, and then I'm going to deep fry one, a Cajun style deep fry with some Cajun boil. I'm going to do a crab boil. I drop a crab boil in the middle of it when I fry it. Most people don't do that. And then I'm going to do both turkeys. I'm going to smoke me a ham because that's my favorite food in the world. And I'm going to go to Deerfield, Michigan this weekend and eat a fucking full pig. And then I'm going to go – and then I'm going to make me a prime rib. I'm going to smoke one, Sean. I'm going to smoke a prime rib. Dude, and then I make my sweet potatoes. I make my sweet potatoes and all that stuff.
Okay, let me ask you this. I was listening to Xander Schauffele be interviewed on Golf Channel today. And I asked him about Thanksgiving, and he said, and it was, we're talking about overrated or what's the one, and I'm with him. I'm a fanatical sweet potato guy, but don't fuck my sweet potato up with marshmallows. I'm just sorry. You know how you go to
sugar, butter,
right,
cinnamon.
A little brown sugar, right, and I don't, and the cinnamon, but I don't like, you know, you'll go to like a potluck,
and it sits there
and the marshmallow soaks it. If you're going to have the marshmallow, it's got to be coming right out of that oven. It's got to be piping hot, ready to go. But I love sweet potatoes. Just don't. If I wanted a doggone ice cream sandwich or whatever, I'd go get me a fucking ice cream sandwich for dessert. I don't want it all over, but I love sweet potato and yams. Big fan. So JB, I'm a jalapeno cream corn, a four cheese green bean rolls. I love what you're talking about the hardcore meat, and I'm with you. If you're going to Dearborn to get that pig, let me go. I'll bring a second one, and we'll just right there in the middle of the street. So I'm with you. So you're going to throw down a lot of guests over beating all, but that's a whole weekend of throwing down, right? What is your favorite side dish, not named mac and cheese when it's done right? What's the what do you have? And I'm a big stuffing guy. I don't call it dressing. I call it stuffing. What is your favorite?
Here's the thing. First of all, Sean, I don't have a huge fault of people because I don't have really a lot of family left, but I bring over buddies that can make it. That don't have.
That's what I'm saying. Your buddies, people close to you. I'd be there. Yeah. You know, we'd be there if I was out there. So.
Even if they don't come, I'm making the same shit.
Right. If it's just me and
the dogs, I'm making the same shit. Cause then I just go around and I give it out to all these, my neighbors and buddies out here around here. I just give it to them. And I go,
it's kind of like an open house for the weekend for you, right? JB, little cards, people kind of coming and going, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to give me any of these back here?
Any what?
Any of these nuts. Okay. Now get out of here.
Jeez. I'm going to take it over here to the Hamas. I'll see you later, man.
I love you.
And he's gone.
Dude, he's like Scotty beating me up on Star Trek, you know?
Yeah.
Scotty being just boom, zap. They beam him up and he's gone to some other place, which is out in California right now. And all he needed was Nate Burleson's outfit from yesterday. And it would have been perfect Star. I love Nate, though. So I'm not even mad at him because I think he's awesome. I think he's phenomenal. But the outfit's like, you see the comments, like there was a lot of Star Trek and Captain Kirk references. I thought it was hilarious. So JB, great stuff. Dude, he'll throw it down. He cooks, put it this way. He cooks like he's cooking for 400 people.
Yeah.
And it could be 5, it could be 25, but he's really generous at giving it away. But he'd throw it down, man. He, you know, Chef JB, I like it. JB, you're the best, brother. Love you. Interesting stuff by him. Didn't take him long to get into the Shedeur Sanders stuff, right?
So well, and
jump it in. Tornado warning. Sorry about that, brother. Right around here.
Right as we were wrapping up there with Coach JB, Kevin Stefanski did say that Dylan Gabriel has passed concussion protocol, but Shedeur will start against the 49ers. So as of now,
and I think that's fair. That's fair. Let him go see if he can play his way into it, play his way out of it. A tougher team. I think it warranted another start. I think he, you know, I put it this way. Second start, played about 6 quarters of football. He's still got a lot of work to do mentally as far as understanding where trouble's coming from, but he's a rookie. I get it. Who's still lacking a lot of reps. He's starting to get in. He made some really good off-schedule throws. Got fooled on an interception. That's okay. He was mid most of the game. He made even the touchdown that the back took to the house sakes to seal the victory. That's a hard angle. I know you say, well, Sean, it's not that tough. I can just tell you this. It's one that quarterbacks will miss all the time on the back shoulder, right, on a little swing pass. It's a swing option where you're the outside line, you know, people going to kick out. You get the ball of the back on the run on his upfield shoulder, his upfield eye, so he can catch and go. And he did. If he throws that off the back shoulder, that's a catch and tackle in the backfield.
Right.
And I'm telling you what, he put it in such a good spot on that swing because the angle's different, Sakes, because he's even with you on that drop back, right? It's even a judgment of, is it a lateral or is it a forward pass? Right. But you want to hit him on that front shoulder and front eye so he gets up the field on the full run. And if you notice he did, the little subtle things like that, the back didn't get touched. Now think about that on a little swing pass, get people out there pulling and kicking out. He didn't get touched. Normally in there, you got to step through a tackle, boom, straight path to the end zone. So those little things that he made, yet he missed a throw in the end zone. He had a guy open and kind of forced it. I think at times his feeling, he's seeing the rush, so he may bail a little too soon instead of slide and reset with his head up. But those are all things that are going to come with reps. I think he warranted another start. I think there's definitely a different energy when he's on the field. There's no doubt. People were craving this, and they got a chance, and he won. That's the object of it. He won. So am I telling you that he's a starter and going to be a great player in the league? Absolutely not. Am I telling you he's going to be a bust? No. I'm telling you exactly what he's done for six quarters. He's done a few good things, a bunch of really average, rookie six-quarter things, and he's done a few things like take sacks. One thing he didn't do is hold the ball as long. At least he threw it away, threw it out of bounds, gave his guy a chance. He did some good things that way, and that's part of the process. So, listen, it's the report card doesn't have an F on it, doesn't have an A on it, doesn't even have a C. It has incomplete on it with some under comments underneath. You're going to say some things there. You know, inside rush comes, great job getting down the field completion and understanding that he pulled up to throw it, that knowing somebody was chasing him down but had space. So he did some good things, man. But he also did some things that are going to need a lot of work. It's still a work in progress. If you're saying, Sean, who's the better quarterback, Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders? I think Shedeur is more of a home run hitter. I think that Dillon Gabriel is a lot more conservative with the football. I don't think Kevin Stefanski put him in a lot of position. Run, pass. You got to be able to run and play action on first down, even more option and do that, but more opportunity to do that. But I think he earned a second start. I think it's a work in progress. And I think it's going to be a great, but we're going to come out of this season still not knowing who the quarterback is next spring. Just put it that way. And then we'll see in OTAs how it goes between those two or what they're going to do if Deshaun Watson then comes back into the fray in the mix. And I think he earned the start, but there's a different energy when he came out. The hardest thing for a backup to do, Sakes, aside from win consistently, is sustain and get better every week, but sustain the energy. You know, you come in, it's our new shiny object. It's a new guy. This is we've craved him. Shedeur, it's the Sanders, it's everybody. He did some good things. Go back and be very critical of himself if you're smart watching on tape. But you got to go back to work. The grind of a starting quarterback is unlike any other position in the world. And that's what he's going to have to learn how to do. But I think it warranted another start. And I think that's a good thing. And if he struggles, then Dillon Gabriel's ready to go play if you have to play him.
Yeah, I think going back to something else you and JB talked about, this Eagles loss, I think, was very eye-opening because – I mean, this is a team that went up 21-0, the Eagles, that is, with 11:32 left in the second quarter. So they basically went three quarters without scoring against a very bad defense in the Dallas Cowboys. And we saw how easily they were moving the ball early in the game, walking it down the field in that first quarter, scoring touchdowns, getting up 21-0. And then they went back to the offense that has been struggling all year. They went back to the offense that A.J. Brown is throwing fits on sidelines, deleting all his Eagle stuff on social media, all this stuff, and all the stories coming about how he and Jalen Hurts are not on the same page, things aren't good with this offense, and they went back to looking like that. Oh, and Saquon Barkley rushed 10 times for 22 yards on top of it, and they let the Dallas Cowboys come back and win 24-21. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Philly. They play Chicago next Friday on a short week on Black Friday. That's, I think, a 2 o'clock game. Chicago's 8-1 in their last nine, and they're tied right now in the NFC for the second and third spots in the playoffs. So, I mean, this is a game that if Chicago goes and wins, all of a sudden they're the 2 seed. Philly drops a game, but really they're a game and a half because they're, you know, Chicago's got that win over them. I don't know what's going on in Philly, but if you're an Eagles fan, you can't be feeling too great right now after this loss yesterday.
Well, I can tell you this, knowing Philly, the passion of Philly fans, it's never going to be good. And I don't mean that disrespect. I mean that kind of affectionately, that their expectations of their team after winning a Super Bowl, being 2 Super Bowls in 3 years, is through the roof. But they are lacking the production they need. And listen, I do think Jalen Hurts is disrespected because he wins. He's just not flashy doing it. He made a couple throws and decisions yesterday that were outstanding. But then all of a sudden in the second half, they were like you remember in the third quarter as they start, the second half wasn't the same. Their production down close, their third down, they just were not good at sustaining. It almost like they went into, just like the rest of us, I almost turned the damn thing off, Segs, on a side. Yeah. I did. Like I almost started watching Hallmark movies again, or Murder, She Wrote with Angela Lansbury, which I do all the time. So I've seen every one of those 15 times. But they started the end of 21-7, and they start to get back into it. And then the Cowboys, it really was the cheesy line of it's a tale of two games, but the Cowboys were resilient and they knew their playoff hopes were that they needed it. And you and I had picked the Cowboys to keep this close, if not outright win, but I did pick the Eagles to win, but we did take the Cowboys and the Cowboys took care of their business at home. And I was impressed with their grind. And I thought it was good because it would have been easy at this day to say, here go the Cowboys again. And if you're Philadelphia, I don't know, Segs, there's an energy, there's a put your foot on their throat energy that's missing from them. And I don't know if it's the court that what goes on behind the scenes. I don't know if it's Super Bowl hangover. Yet we're saying this about a team who's still got a chance at the number one seed in the NFC, right? But there is something missing. So maybe we're too spoiled. We're too selfish. We're too greedy. Maybe Philadelphia is as well. But they don't look like a team that if they're pressed by a team that can do what they do and has a quarterback that maybe spins it more or better, that they could be in trouble or that their defense matches their defense. But they allowed some big plays. They allowed some, and quite frankly, they could have been more because they laid some balls on the ground too last night, drop passes as well. So, yeah, I don't think Philadelphia is the best team in the NFC. Much respect. I think the Rams have proven that they are clearly – they are the class of the NFC with the Bears, Eagles, and a few teams that are close, Segs. But in truth, if I'm betting my money right now in the futures, it's all on prediction. Right now, the Rams in the NFC, and we talked about the AFC. So, yeah, I think it's dangerous. And I'm telling you, we again also said the Bears are the Eagles with a little more pizzazz as far as, you know, Caleb's making a few more plays as far as it look flashier than Jalen Hurts, although he's not getting the same respect as somebody who'd have his team in first place. And Jalen Hurts is just a big-time winner that rarely gets the respect he deserves by a guy who's been to two Super Bowls and has an MVP and a ring on his finger. With that in mind, though, Caleb, that team is playing really good football. So I think I think the NFC's better at the top. The AFC's got a lot of teams you can jumble around. We talked about New England. We talked about Denver. But I don't think there's an overly, oh, my gosh, this is such a complete team in the AFC. I think both of those teams, New England still could use a few more weapons, but I think they're really good. And how are they going to handle postseason? And same with Denver, great defense. But where's Bo Nix's game going to be with Sean Payton in January? Those questions will emerge. And real quick, back to Shadur. Folks, he didn't get a game ball. If he plays good football, there'd be plenty of game balls. Myles Garrett's got 18 sacks in 11 games. So let's just stop this for a second. You can't have everything. I know you recognize him. Yeah, it's good. Maybe you're bummed. He thinks Stefanski doesn't want to get him game ball. He plays well against Denver this week. He will have earned a game ball because if they beat San Francisco, yeah. They will have earned it. He's going to be in a little more physical game. And for them to beat San Francisco, Shadur is going to have to play really good football. And the defense is going to have to play good too because 49ers can move it. So let's not borrow trouble and steal away from a win by him that's all stuck on Kevin Stefanski's game ball presentation. Three sacks on any team is getting you a game ball, just so people understand. Now, if you want to give out five game balls in their defense and all around, fine. He gave one to one guy. Maybe it's also to continue to test Shadur. Coaches do that. You know, maybe a team captain three down the road. But the teabagging that has to go on every single moment for a guy who's just trying to survive and win. And I don't know why people root against Shadur other than they may don't like the flash or the last name or what have you, but I don't root against him. But the continued pressure of, oh man, that he set the world on fire. There's been plenty of guys in their first start that have won games in their career. And he was fine. He did some really good things, but the slobbering we have to do. And if you don't, that means you hate him is just not fair, not only to him, but to Kevin Stefanski or anybody else. You can deduct from Stefanski what you want. But for me, I need to keep Shadur Sanders focused on the job at hand, not worried about all the surrounding periphery shit, because right now he's not good enough to handle all that.
Well, and that's
nor would any second start quarterback be good enough to handle all that.
And that's the problem because, you know, it's the same people who were bitching and moaning that he wasn't getting first string snaps in practice.
First team reps, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And
as the backup.
It's now they're saying, oh, he didn't get a game ball. The way he said his name after when he said, like, good job, Shadur, getting a win in your first start. All this, it's just like, shut up. All right. Dylan Gabriel didn't get a ball the first game he won. I mean, and he wasn't good either. He was like third.
He was mid, did some good things, did some bad things, and missed some chances. He had like 100
yards passing. Shadur had 200 and a touchdown and a bad interception. I mean, neither one were good in their game, but they did enough to win the game. So, I mean,
there'll be plenty of other opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Shadur after the game saying, oh, this is just with 1 week of practice. Imagine what it'll be if I actually got, you know.
That's why people hate them. Right. That's the one on the opposite side why people don't. Instead of saying our defense was spectacular, I got to start. Hopefully we're headed in the right direction. I got a lot of work to. I got to get back and study. I've got to be very, very critical in my review of my own performance. I did a few good things. I got some phenomenal play by my in space by a couple players, and you know, did some things, and I'm still swimming around and got to do things. But thank goodness our defense is good as they are, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. It'll present itself, but it can't be, oh yeah, Wade will have second one, or people. And then he went back to the victim mentality of, yeah, people are rooting for me to fail. Right. And there's a lot. I can tell you this. There's just as many rooting for your success. I'm one of them. But you make it really, he makes it hard when he says stuff like that. I don't mind a confident swagger guy. But after that, a quarterback probably divert all that elsewhere. Let your performance continue to elevate. And we'll do all the talking for you. You don't need to. And to say, well, wait till practice and wait till the offseason. People want to see me fail. No, I actually look at it the other way. It kind of reminds me of when DeMeco Ryans in Houston was saying, yeah, it's all the negative. Nobody talks about talk positive. There's no more popular guy in Houston. I mean, everybody loves him when he got the job and got the job. Yeah. And even when they're losing, they oh, this is a great, and rightfully so. In the case of him, too, it's like, dude, just as many people, if not more, are rooting for your success than are rooting against you. But it's like people that are looking, and those people say it are just looking. Oh, Stefanski, you hear his tone of his voice, are looking for, they're borrowing trouble and looking for a reason to criticize. They're just focusing on the good, the bad, and the ugly, which happens on every team every single week. And he'll go through struggles next week. We'll see how he handles it. And he'll have some successes next week. But he's probably, if he wants to divert from people looking to see him fail, then make it about everybody else on your team and let your performance do the talking. And at times yesterday, your performance did, both bad and good, but you did enough to win, which is a great feeling, and he deserved it. He played well enough, and his defense kicked ass to get a win against a shitty-ass team. It'll only get tougher.
And before we get out of here, Myles Garrett, 3 sacks, you mentioned it. He's got 18 on the season. He needs 5 to pass the record of 22.5 that's held by Michael Strahan and T.J. Watt. Now, T.J. Watt did it in 17 games. Strahan did it in 16 games, but
no, this dude may do it in 15 the way he's playing.
He may do it next week. Right. I mean, he's got 13 sacks in his last 4 games, Sean. And I told you before the show, the next guy who has the most sacks in the NFL this season is Brian Burns with 13. Myles Garrett has that in the last 4 games. I mean, he's been incredible. So, I mean, just one of the best defensive seasons we've ever seen, but it sucks that he's on a team that is bad.
Segs for a tease for tomorrow. You're 100% correct. He is on a team that is just flat ass not good. They're just not. And you know, the constant, you know, push forward on, you know, how do you get it fixed and how do you get more offense to match him moving forward? I don't know what all the answers are, but the Cleveland Browns have put it this way. If you could find a couple players on offense that matched his production on defense, they'd be a playoff team.
Especially in that division.
There is no question. There's no question about it. All right, real quick, and we can tease for tomorrow, but just kind of a little overview. If I said right now, who's the biggest threat to Ohio State in college football to win this thing in February? Who is it today? Regardless of where they're seated, I don't care if they're in the playoff, the number one team right now that you say that is the biggest threat in your mind to take the trophy home that's not named Ohio State, and maybe you think this other team's more of a threat. Who is it?
As much as I want to say Indiana and Fernando Mendoza, I would probably go, I would lean more towards Texas A&M. I think, and I'm not a guy that trusts Texas A&M overall, just same thing with Texas. I just, it's always like, yes, but that team is going to basically hurt you in the end. And that's how I've always felt about Texas A&M, because that's what they've always showed us. But Marcel Reed and Elko, they have something going right now that I think is hard to look away from, and they could be the national champions this year, and it wouldn't shock me at all.
They've never had, listen, they went through the kid that's at the University of Houston from Bridgeland. You know, I'm talking about A&M. Why am I losing? Who's a star?
I know who
you're talking
about.
He's the number one recruit. I mean, I've met him. He's a great kid. And he's there. Why am I losing my mind? I've watched him play high school football. He's 25 minutes from where I live and watched him play. He's, you know, he was at Texas A&M as a five-star recruit. And
yes,
he got hurt and didn't work out. And he's now the starting quarterback for the Houston Cougars. And I've said his name as a local radio guy here.
Oh, my God, I know it. Houston Cougars quarterback.
You're going to say it to me. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I know. Connor Wegman.
Yeah, Wegman. And he went there and they had high expectations, injuries, and you know, they didn't do the things. They bam, gone. Before him, Haynes King. And now Haynes King's turned himself into right system. He wasn't a great thrower when at A&M. He could do it both in high school. At A&M, he just didn't throw the ball. They didn't have enough success. Well, he goes there and look with Georgia Tech. They're in a hell of a dogfight. But they haven't the completeness at A&M. I'm not talking about what they're going on to do, whether it's Connor Wegman or whether it's Haynes King. But at A&M, they haven't had this guy that's as good, consistent, but that's this dynamic, I guess what I say, while they're at A&M.
Yeah.
With that kind of defense and with that kind of physicality. They've got some good players at the position. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about when you've got a national championship defense, a coach who preaches it, you're more physical than you've been at any time under Jimbo Fisher and any time under Kevin Sumlin.
Yes.
It's been a long time since you've been this physical and not worn out in this conference late in the season. And now they got a playmaking quarterback who, even if he throws a couple picks and gets you in trouble, his feet and his arm are good enough to get you out of it in the second half, as he showed against LSU when they were down. So he is capable, and so are they. I would put them at near the top of the list. But Segs, I'm still, and as much as I love what they're doing at Indiana and Mendoza, I need a couple throws in clutch time, I'll take that kid. But I just still can't sleep on Georgia because of their ability. They know how to win. You'll take A&M. A&M, I'm close, Segs, to saying, you know, I'm with you. I think this is a huge game for them and University of Texas for a lot of reasons in this state, national implications, and for psychological reasons as well, not to mention seeding and the rest of it. But Georgia, I actually like A&M's defense more than Georgia's, yet Georgia's defense always finds a way to show up. Does that make sense right now, Segs, this way I feel? Mm-hmm. I think both quarterbacks are playmakers. It is. Which one of those cats will make the careless mistake late? And I think they are both capable of beating. I still think Ohio State's a team to beat. I think both of those, if they get a chance to run into them, those two teams there are the biggest threat to Ohio State repeating and very well could be better than them if they get them on the right day and both quarterbacks protect them. I'm going to take Georgia slightly ahead of Texas A&M. I don't feel comfortable with it because I love what A&M's doing. And I think both of them are formidable, yet some may even think better than Ohio State when it gets down to it. We'll see.
Yeah. And then just to wrap up, our bet of the day, as we do every single day tonight, Monday Night Football, the Panthers travel across the country to the Niners. This is the Niners -7.5 at home. 49.5.
What did it start? I thought, did it start at 6.5? Is that moving?
Yes, I believe, when I had it up. Yeah. So 7.5 now. Which way are you leaning?
I'm actually leaning towards a 49er double-digit win, although I think that Carolina's going to – that's what I first thought, and it's going that way, and I get it. But you're talking now, if you're Carolina, winning the division.
Right.
So this can't be a, hey, we're 2 and, you know, we're 2-9 or 2-10, and we're just trying to salvage December and keep our coaches. This is – they've got a legitimate shot because with Baker Mayfield hurt, depending on how long, that has been a different team the last 5 weeks, production wise. And now that I know they're hurt, and now you add their guy, they are dangerous. How about that fall from being a team that we had at the top of the power rankings or close to the NFC to now? Yep. They're going to have to fight and scratch to stave them off. They just are. So, and who knows how long Baker's going to be out. So my gut, I guess, says this is more even emotional that Carolina is going to hang around. I like the 49ers to win the game on outright, and I am going to actually take the over in the game, Segs. I think we're going to get some points in this game. So I would pick the over in this one, but my gut tells me that Carolina is going to show up a little bit and make some and make it a little closer than 7.5, but because of the implications of the game. But the 49ers need this too, so give me the over in the football game. I think points will be scored.
Okay, yeah, I've got written down that I'm taking Carolina and the under though.
Okay.
I don't know. 49 and a half seems like a lot for these two teams, but I mean, with the way the NFL's been going, you never know week to week who's going to score and who's not going to score. I mean, I thought, especially college this last week, I thought we were going to hit more points, and there just wasn't a lot of points scored outside of the USC-Oregon game. Boy. So,
and how about Tennessee's defense against Florida?
Yes.
They showed up, too. I thought that game would be a little bit more track meet-ish.
I did, too.
You know what I mean, Segs? Played a lot of plays, but we did get that, you know, that under in the Oklahoma game. SC's over was a no-brainer, it felt like, and they just, you know, they just couldn't keep up with Oregon, and too many mistakes and costly situations put them in a bad way. So good on Oregon, and now they get to go take care of their business in a big one, and USC's got a rivalry game, even though they're out of it. What's going forward for them, we'll see. But I got I'm with you. I like Carolina, but I like the over. You like Carolina and the under.
Yes. All right, tomorrow we'll talk college football playoffs. The rankings come out tomorrow night. We'll talk about how we think they should line up, and more so, you know, where does Oregon go now with this win over USC? Where does, you know, where do teams move to, and what does the back of the playoffs look like with? Is it Miami? Is it going to be Miami? Is it going to be JMU or, you know, these other teams that they're putting in there? So, and we can also look ahead. If Michigan beats Ohio State this weekend, are they for sure in? Do they need to beat them up? What does that look like? And then I think in the NFL, Rams. I want to talk to Rams. What they're doing to teams right now is almost disrespectful because they're beating them up so bad. And what Matthew Stafford continues to do at this age has been incredible.
He's better now than he's ever been.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he's better now. And you know, there's been quarterbacks, maybe it was Steve Young who said it to me. I can't remember who said it, but I believe in this. Just when you figure it out mentally, say, it's like when Brady did or Roger, mm-hmm. just when you start to, because it takes a decade to figure this shit out or longer. Yeah. And you never fully figure it out. That's why you keep studying Peyton. If it's good enough to study for Manning or Warren Moon, it's good enough for anybody to keep studying, right? No matter what age you're getting, you're playing football, because there's always something new or some scenario. Is it just when you figure it out mentally, physically, you can't do it much anymore. You can't do the same things you did 15 years earlier. Matt Stafford's arm, dude, he's that Nolan Ryan that's still throwing it, you know, 99. At 45 years old, even though Stafford's not 45, that ball still jumps out of his hand. Now he's got the mental part down. Oh, I know everything they're trying to do to me. Bam, they do this. Boom, he's doing it. And his mental, when he walks the line of scrimmage, a lot of pre-snap stuff, he already knows. So, I've seen this look 27 times in the fourth quarter. Boom, give him. If not, he's able to adjust or throw it away. I think he's playing MVP football. I think they are the best team in the NFL. Can they be beat? Sure. They've proven that this year.
Yeah.
But they're playing at a level right now that it almost feels like when they go out on the field at 80%, they're beating everybody. That's the way I feel about them now. Yeah. And I do want to talk more about it and how they're getting this done. Stafford's game, he's the most valuable player in the league right now. And this is a dangerous team. You're going to have to play out of your ass. If they're playing their best, then I don't think they can get beat. Honestly, right. If they play their best, they're as good as anybody. I don't care from New England to Philly to their San Francisco to the Chiefs. I don't care. We'll also mix in the Chiefs. Did that life give them, did that new life with that victory over the Colts take them to another level, and they got a short week? And yes, Lucas, my beard is getting into the Christmas spirit. Shauna Claus is, you know, it's not Segs, but Segs doesn't have, you know, got a little white. We could go full white and he'd be closer to Santa Claus. But this is about as long as I've let my, normally I'll let it go about a week and it drives me crazy, but I'm just letting it flow and letting it go through the holidays, brother.
There you go. I like it.
I'm just
like
keeping the neck beard away. I'm just staying away from the neck.
Yeah, the neck beard, you know? It's tough. Yeah. Once you get to this length, it doesn't bother you like it does when it's short.
Right.
Like when I have a short beard, I got to shave
it's
the neck.
It's irritating as hell. So I'm trying to – it's like a haircut, right, Sage?
Yes.
You know, you get to a certain point, it's like, this is shitty looking. Mm-hmm. I got to grow through it. So even if it stays like this, like 5 o'clock shadow semi-beard, but it is the spirit, and here I am. I love Christmas.
Sure.
I love Thanksgiving even more.
We got plenty to talk about in this Thanksgiving week. We got a lot of football on Thursday. We got football on Friday. You just mentioned Texas A&M. That's Friday night. We got Bears, Eagles, which is a dogfight in the NFC right
Can't
now.
Wait.
That's on Friday. So we got a lot of football this weekend to get to in our couple days this week. Thank you to Triple E, Bailey, Laura, as always. Thanks to you guys. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury.
Like and subscribe, please. It doesn't hurt anything. You get it's free, and tell your friends. We would be so grateful, not only for you being here, but like and subscribe to that. It matters to us. It just shows us, you know, where we're headed. And we love those metrics, and we appreciate you doing it. So
and
please
do.
And Segs is going to send you a fruitcake for Christmas, because that'll make everybody horny. Who doesn't like a fruitcake for Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, if I got to, you know, start doling out some fruitcakes out of my kitchen, I mean, I have no idea how to make any kind of cake. So
you don't want
what I would be making. But anyways, we will be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, as we always are, talking a lot of football. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.